We believe in the Father who created all that is, and we believe the universe and all therein is His. As a loving Heavenly Father, He yearns to save us all and to lift us from the fall. We believe. We believe in Jesus. He's the Father's only Son, existing uncreated before time had begun. He's the sacrifice for sin. He died, then He rose again to ransom sinful men. We believe. We believe in the Spirit who makes believers one. And our hearts are filled with His presence, the Comforter has come. The kingdom unfolds with His plan, unhindered by quarrels of man. This church, upheld by His hand, we believe. Though the earth be removed and time be no more, these truths are secure. God's word shall endure. Whatever may change, these things are sure. We believe. So in the are cast down into the plains, when kingdoms all crumble, this one remains. Our faith is not subject to seasons of men. With our fathers we proclaim, we believe our Lord, He will come as He said. The land and the sea up their dead, His children, they will reign with Him as their head. We believe, we believe.
That'll make a Baptist get happy right there, brother. I'll tell you what. Yes, indeed, Speedy. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Brother Darren's singing for us this morning. He's got two broken toes, two big broken toes, standing up there in broken feet singing, and dropped a tricycle on his feet and broke his toes as a motorcycle, actually. And so appreciate the Tharp brothers. And then Brother Eric Tharp going to preach for us this morning, and so looking forward to the message. So let's get your Bibles in your hands, ready to listen now. Let's be ready. Turn your cell phone off. Make sure it's off. Check and make sure it's off. Look at it and make sure it's off. Check and make sure it's off. I'm giving you time to check your cell phone and make sure it's off. So help us there, please. Thank you, fellas. Appreciate the Tharp brothers being here. Brother, thank you for being with us today. You come preach.
Oh, thank you, Pastor. I want to thank Sister Evans for playing so good. Let's give her a hand. Amen. Thank you, sister. That song is Such a blessing. Thank you so much. Let's go to the book of Ruth, chapter number one. Ruth, chapter number one. That's Genesis, all the way to Judges, and then Ruth. If you, if you're a student at Golden State, I'm trying to help you. Ruth, chapter one. And what a blessing being here. Pastor Johnson, thank you for your friendship. Mrs. Johnson, I saw her earlier right down here. And my goodness, Russ is right. What a gift they are to you and to California. And I've loved our friendship. When I was in Manteca all those years, I called him one day. A preacher canceled on me. And it was a special meeting we're having on soul winning. And I called him. I said, is there any way you can bail me out? He said, if I'm your last resort, sure. But I've loved him all these years, respected him. And this great church, this is a great church. How many would agree with me on that? Beautiful. I mean, just everything is just so beautiful. And despite the staff, just a beautiful church. And just a joy to be here. And excited about the future. Don't look at the future with dread, because every day is a gift from God. And He's got the end figured out from the beginning. How many believe that? He's got it all figured out. So we're really in for a free ride. We just trust. And He works everything out to His counsel. Ruth chapter number one. I won't read the whole chapter. I'm aware of the time. And but what a joy to have our Bibles. Amen. A copy of the precious Word of God, the King James Bible. Aren't you glad you have a Bible? Look at the first verse. It says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And just let me tell you, it's about the story of Naomi, Elimelech, their sons. They leave a famine in Bethlehem, and they go to Moab after bread. Skip down to verse number 19, if you would. It says, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem. So they went from Bethlehem to Moab because of a famine. Guess what? They left Moab back to Bethlehem because of a famine. And I want you to see the phrase here. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? I want you to see in verse number 1 and verse number 19 a repeated phrase. You see it there. It came to pass. Do you see it in verse 1? Look at verse 19 again. It came to pass. I want you to think with me about that little phrase. You may have heard phrases like this preached in the Bible, but it might surprise you to know that over 600 times that phrase, it came to pass, is in your Bible. You think, well, what's the significance of that? That's the point of the message, because it will come to pass. Let's pray. Father, I pray your blessing on the time that I have to preach. I'm honored with this privilege to be with my two brothers. We are so thankful that you even consider using us, especially in churches like this. We're grateful. We pray that, Lord, even right now, you would take your word, make it come alive in the ear of the listener and the heart of every individual. And may we leave this place better people, better Christians than we were coming in. Then most of all, Lord, there could be in this room a man or woman, a boy or girl, who is not certain in their heart if they died, they would go to heaven. And it would be a shame to attend the Shasta Baptist Church and leave on a Sunday morning without the assurance of salvation. So God, I pray right now you'd squeeze the heart of the sinner that needs to be saved, bring conviction to them, and Lord, may they have the faith to look upon Jesus and be saved. And we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to stay right on that thought. It came to pass. As a matter of fact, I went through my Bible, the concordance, and I looked up the variations of the use of that term, it came to pass. As a matter of fact, in 2 Samuel 20 and verse 27, it says, it came to pass on the morrow. So just think about the different times it comes to pass. 2 Samuel 12, 18, it came to pass on the seventh day. 1 Kings 17, 7, it came to pass after a while. 1 Kings 17, 17, it came to pass after these things. Chapter 18, verse number 1, 1 Kings, it came to pass after many days. And then Joshua 23, 1, this is a good one, it came to pass after a long time. It says in Joshua 21:45, and all came to pass. In 1 Samuel 25:38, it came to pass after 10 days. 2 Samuel 11:1, it came to pass after the year was expired. So get a little longer. 2 Samuel 13:23, it came to pass after 2 full years. Then 2 Samuel 15:7, it came to pass after 40 years. That's your pastor's life verse now. It came to pass after 40 years. Exodus chapter 2, twice in that chapter, it tells us it came to pass in the process of time. So we're seeing a redundant phrase in your Bible, it came to pass. Have you ever considered the significance of that statement? It came to pass. Aren't you glad when storms come into your life, they don't come to stay, they come to pass? Aren't you glad even for the child of God, if cancer comes to you, it doesn't come to stay, it comes to pass. You say, are you telling me that I'm going to get healed? Listen to me, I believe with all my heart, God can heal anything. There's nothing God cannot heal. But if He chooses that you face death, thank God, it's going to come to pass. That glad resurrection morning, hallelujah, when the dead in Christ shall rise and we're going to see each other again. It came to pass. We're going to look at that phrase this morning for just a few moments and ask the question, what comes to pass? See, many here today are stressed perhaps, blinded by the strength of a burden. It could be that something's come on you, and I've pastored long enough and I've been in life long enough to know that life is full of changes. Life is full of seasons. Things come and things go, and the only thing that doesn't change is the cemetery. But thank God in this life things come, and we can learn as Christians, and if you're not a Christian today, we're trying to get you in on this thing because we want you to go to heaven with us. There's no reason for you to go to hell. If you're here and you're not saved, I don't care if you've got a Catholic background or an agnostic background or a Mormon background, there's no reason for you to go to hell, especially when you consider the fact that Jesus suffered on that cross. He was buried and He rose from the dead. Amen, church? And if He would save someone, the likes of me or the person near you, if you are saved, raise your hands as a testimony to the Lord. If He would save the likes of us, He surely would save you. It came to pass. Some of the worst mistakes a person can make is moving in a time of trouble, moving in a time of need, and you have no idea what God is, as they say in the South, fixing to do. This is the story of Naomi and her family. They left the blessing of Bethlehem, and yes, there was a famine, but they missed the fact that it was going to come to pass. So this morning, for the time I have left, we're looking at what comes to pass. I want you to consider, first of all, in the text we learn this, that some people will come to pass. Look at verse number 3, chapter 1, Ruth. I didn't read the whole text. We'll teach it a little bit. Look at verse 3. It says, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. So we have Elimelech. He came to pass. Skip down to verse 14. Chapter 1, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother and her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto Ruth. But what happened here is the two sons died. So we have Elimelech died, the sons die, and these women are left as widows. Some people come to pass. Could I make a statement right here? You had better not rest your joy or strength on people. Don't do it. You don't rest your strength on individuals. Save Jesus alone. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And it's true that some people will come to pass. I get with my brothers and, man, we have fun when we're together. We wish once in a while Dad was just in the company with us. Our dad was a longtime pastor, and before being a pastor, he was a firefighter and a drunk. And now he, can you imagine us getting together with Dad and Dad singing with us? He always sang bass, and we'd get together and sing once in a while, I will serve thee. How many know that song? We'd sing that song in different churches, and we'd get together, and then one day our dad was taken from our fellowship, and it changed our lives. How many can relate right there? Somebody was taken from you. And it comes to pass. People come to pass. In your life, in my life, people come to pass. Sometimes they come to pass, first of all, by death. And death is going to come. Elimelech left Bethlehem for Moab. He thought he was going to go start a new life. He lasted about 10 years and then he died. It's interesting when you read your Bible and you get into the long list of chronology, every one of them, and he died. And he died, and it's going to happen. So here Naomi, she's left without her husband, and somebody was taken from her, and the most difficult part of her life started when someone was taken from her. So people come to pass sometimes by death. We don't celebrate that. I love living. I try to stay healthy. I tell my wife all the time, you better love me, right? Because one of these days I'll be gone. You say, why would you remind her that? Because I like mashed potatoes, praise the Lord. I like being cared for. I love caring for her. And I don't know where you are this morning. It could be that you're suffering the heartache of bereavement. Could I just tell you this? It'll come to pass. Death brings people to pass. Not only death, this is a painful one. Look at verse 14. I already read it. But I want you to see they lifted up their voice and wept again. Orpah, that's not the Orpah. What's her name? That's not the same one. You do realize that, right? She's not in the Bible, even though I understand she wrote her own Bible. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. That's a hard thing to process right there. Watch this now. But Ruth clave to her. So what we see here is people come to pass not just by death, sometimes by decisions. One chose to leave. Another chose to remain. People will pass on by decisions, against reason sometimes, against relationship sometimes, against sometimes all truth and righteousness. People come and go. I recall helping rescue so many people as a pastor over the years, and I'm still doing that, and I want to keep doing that. And I watch them, and you invest, and you invest, and you invest. I don't know what I'm doing, so stay with me. And you invest, and you invest, and you watch them just fall right off the edge. It's a decision. Did you know everybody is responsible for their own decisions? Amen. And young people, listen to me. You're going to come to the point where you've got to choose what kind of person you're going to be. And it's not your mommy's problem. It's not your daddy's problem. It's your choice. Sometimes the choice is painful. And they jump off the edge. And a choice, a decision, it came to pass. A decision made to pull the rug from under steady feet. A decision to betray, a decision to hurt. Listen to me, folks. We as human beings weave our lives in and through people. And if we're not careful, we'll put our trust inadvertently in people. And then they make a choice and it comes to pass. So sometimes people come to pass through death, through decisions. But listen to me, nothing lasts forever. Nothing does. The Bible tells me that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I'm here to just give you a little bright ray of sunshine. Your heart might be broken and you're having a hard time right now, but listen to me, it shall come to pass. Our joy comes in the morning. I remember the change in our happy home, losing precious loved ones one after another. And I remember the darkness of sorrow and the mourning that seemed to never have an end. And the darkness seemed to envelop my entire life. But listen to me, it will come to pass. God will give you grace to even live with a broken heart. That song today, the sister sang and the choir supported, were it not for grace, could somebody give God glory today? Were it for the grace of God, where would you be? If you got everything you deserved, if you really had it coming and you got what you deserved, it'd be burning in hell. But God brought to you grace. Were it not for grace, it comes to pass. People come to pass. I love history, don't you? Some of you are lying right now. I hate history. My brothers and I recently visited the library and museum of Harry S. Truman. I remember I was getting a haircut at my brother's church there. He's in Independence, Missouri. Great, great church in the Midwest. Man, they run 8 buses, knock on doors. How many tracks since January? Come on, tell me quick. 22,000 gospel tracks handed out since January in his church there. And I was getting my hair cut in his barber shop, and they had a big picture of Harry S. Truman. And I said, "You must like Truman." He said, "Yeah, he used to get his hair cut right in this chair." Now, I pretend like I like Truman. He's a Democrat. Anyways, but you know something? We were driving Independence there. We drove by his house. Guess what? He's not there. I hope he's in heaven. But people come to pass. Problems come to pass. Look at verse 6. Verse 6, I'm hurrying along. Verse number 6, it says, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and giving them bread." Wow, wow, wow. The problem came to pass. All of a sudden, that famine that seemed to lead them out and drive them on, it all of a sudden has come to pass. She was in Moab in a godless country running from a problem. Listen to me. Too many people jump ship before the problem comes to pass. Don't run from your problems. We're going to look at that just for a few moments. But here this woman is. She goes to Moab, and now because of a problem back here, she's now facing a problem here. Everywhere you go are problems. Everywhere you go except donut shops. Come on, can I hear an amen for donuts? I've never seen a sad person coming out of a donut shop. Praise God for donuts. And by the way, that donut shop down the street here would be the best of the world if you put a Dunkin' Donuts right next to it. Praise God. But problems, they come to pass. Now let me just give you some ideas here. 67 miles from Bethlehem was Moab. 67 miles. And so Elimelech and his wife Naomi thought that if we left from here where the problem was, Bethlehem, just go 67 miles away over here, there'll be no problem there. And sure enough, they got over here, there was no famine. But all of a sudden, Elimelech's dead. And the sons are dead. And a famine strikes here. Problems come to pass. Let's just break it down for a couple of things. First of all, when you face a problem, don't reason your problem. Don't reason it. Don't try to figure it out and strategize it. The Bible tells us what to do with problems. Here's the verse. Write it down. Psalm 55, 22. Write it down, please. Psalm 55, 22. Here's what God says to do with your problems. Cast it on the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. You see, that's what God tells us to do. Satan wants us to try to reason the problem. Satan wants to give you a strategy. You say, "But I'm a strategy-minded person." Sometimes God doesn't want your strategy. God's not interested in your plan. How many will admit once in a while you feel like giving God advice? Sure enough, sometimes God says this, "You just stay put and trust me because it shall come to pass." Don't reason your problems. I can hear people right now over the years, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. Here's what I hear. If I just had a normal relationship, if I just had a better job. And that little preposition "if" has ruined more Christians, caused more Christians to run headlong into greater problems because of the strategy syndrome that we're all in. We got to figure this thing out. We got to strategize and plan, where God just sometimes just says, "You sit tight. Don't reason your problem." Number two, don't run from your problem. Don't run from your problem like a silly dove. Hosea talked about that. He said Israel's like a silly dove. They flutter here and they flutter here. Is your life that way? Nobody can stand somebody like that. Just fluttering through everything, and every problem is this, and every time you turn around, listen to me, it's just like Lot. He goes down with his uncle Abraham, and he's considering what to do. Lot would have been a whole lot better just stuck with Abraham. But instead, he looked and saw the well-watered plains of Sodom, and he just decided, "That's a better spot for me." I'm here to tell you, sometimes running from your problem is your biggest problem. Don't run from your problem. Don't reason your problem. Don't run from your problem. And then let me just say, don't be ruined by your problem. That woman, Naomi, she didn't realize it. She came back and it ruined her. You know why they called her bitter? Why she called herself bitter? They looked at her and said, "Is this Naomi?" Right. I'm not being unkind, but listen to me. Some of you have got to look right now. You've created on your own because you've got that thing eating at you all the time. You've got this furrowed eyebrow, and everything is tight and everything is grievous when Satan is doing that. Yes. Don't run from your problem. Don't let it ruin you. I watch people sometimes, I want to just grab them and shake them. Why are you doing this? Why are you letting this ruin you? You've got it so good. Would you just look at what you have? How many's ever been to the Philippines or inner Mexico or some third world country? We are so blessed. And yet we're just like a silly dove. And it's ruining us. I don't know your story, but I do know this. If we don't sit tight sometimes and let God bring it to pass, it'll ruin us. And I'll give you this third thing. And just listen to this. Phases come to pass. People come to pass. Problems come to pass. And phases come to pass. See, Naomi and Ruth, they're in a phase of life. Both of them lost their husbands. And there's something about grief when you have loss. It's interesting how fellow sufferers can support one another or destroy one another. And here are three women that are in a phase together. Listen, church, and I'm not your pastor. I'm not a psychologist. But I do want to remind everybody here that life is all about segments. It's all about phases, periods in time. In the last 2 years, I've had 2 vocal cord surgeries. I'm a preacher, I'm a pastor, I'm a singer, and I'm a talker. And I get sick of talking. I'm in the South. Every conversation is 2 hours and 45 minutes. I have a dear friend of the church there, and I said, Rick, listen, when I'm talking to you and you start your story, I'm going to give you a 2-minute sign. That's not V for victory either. That's 2 minutes. So make sure you hone in on the 2 minutes. I said, when you get near the 2 minutes, I'm going to give you this. So we have that agreement. It works good. I didn't try that with my wife. I just want to be clear on that. Periods of time. Listen to me, a single person, hang in there. Don't start getting nutty. It shall come to pass. This thing about getting on the internet and well, I got to find a wife, I got to find a husband, it shall come to pass. You either have a heavenly father or you don't. Too many of us are acting like, well, there's a God, but he ain't real to me. Phases come to pass. Amen. I have in my notes here, no kidding, if you saw this, you'd crack up. Marriages come to pass. Marriages don't come to pass. Let me make that clear. You stay married. Can I have an amen there? So I'm going to scratch marriages out of this line that doesn't work. But you know, phases in marriage will come to pass. No marriage is always this way, folks. We're always going to have some ups and downs. Hang in there. Yeah. My mom used to say, cool your jets. I don't know what that means. Anybody else, mama say that? Cool your jets. You know, your job situation, it's all going to come to pass. Listen to me. Peter faced that dark night of denial when the cock crowed thrice. And he heard back on the mountain just before that, Jesus said, I'm going to use you, Peter. In fact, I'm going to change your name. And I'm going to make you something great. And so here he is, Jesus in his darkest hour, he denies the Lord 3 times. In some ways, his denial of Jesus 3 times is equal to that of Judas. I'm not putting him on a par there, but buddy, that's a pretty dark thing to do to somebody in their darkest hour. But you know what? Even Peter's own failure came to pass. Because that same Peter at Pentecost preached, and if I'm not mistaken, I think he probably had the greatest invitation ever given, where 3,000 were saved and God did some great things. I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, it shall come to pass. You say, well, prove to me it'll come to pass from the text. I'm glad you said that. Because chapter 1 is followed by chapter 2. In chapter 1, we have famine and shortage. In chapter 2, we have food and plenty. In chapter 1, we have deep disappointment. In chapter 2, we have the delight in the fields of Boaz. In chapter 1, despair and depression. In chapter 2, we're introduced to the kinsman redeemer. In chapter 1, we find emptiness and helplessness. In chapter 2, enough, enough, and enough. In chapter 1, salvation and sadness. In chapter 2, gleaning and a future. In chapter 1, defeat and dismay. Chapter 2, wedding bells and rejoicing. In chapter 1, Moab and misery. In chapter 2, blessings and Bethlehem. In chapter 1, bitterness and memories. In chapter 2, bread and hope. Chapter 1, dissension and demise. Chapter 2, reaping and readiness. Are you getting this? Chapter 1, disappointment and death. Chapter 2, rest and restoration. Listen to me. The phase shall come to pass. Just hang in there. Don't give up on God. Don't turn back in the day of battle like Ephraim. It's time you sign back up. It's time you get back in the choir. It's time you get back into Sunday school. Help me, church. It's time you get back into soul winning. I know your heart's broken, but God can take someone with a broken heart, and God can do some amazing things. He did it with Peter. He did it with Ruth. He did it with Naomi, and He'll do it with you. It comes to pass. What keeps a Christian going is trusting in the Lord. When everybody else fails you, He'll never fail you. He'll never let you down. He'll never disappoint you. He'll never turn His back on you. He'll never do you wrong. It shall come to pass. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed.